So we have another instance in the gospel where I'm not necessarily thrilled about the translation that they chose here, because it says, be watchful, be alert. And there's a little asterisk in the Gospel of Mark that says, some translations say, be watchful and pray. I like that much better. So watch and pray, right? Say watch and pray. We're alert. We're anticipating. We're in a sense of waiting. And what we're waiting for is the coming of our Savior. So who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do with your life? You know, when Jesus comes, that's what we're watching for. That's what we're waiting for. Who are you going to be when he comes? Who do you want to be? And why? You know, in the first reading today, we hear about God as Father and God as Potter, making us, giving us this capacity. I read or heard a few months ago, and it really made an impact on me when I heard it. I asked myself, is that true? And if it's true, how do I use that in my life? And how do I not overuse it in my life? But the idea was that kind of one of the most powerful things that we can say to one another is, I need you. I need you. Now, we don't want to be needy, right? But at the same time, when we need something, we need to be able to express it clearly. I need. God, I need you. I need you to be who I want to be. As I'm watching and waiting for you to come, I need you, right? And that's all of our circumstances. We need God's help. We really do. We really do. He is coming, and we're anticipating for his arrival. Then we watch and we pray. Now, I'm going to remind you of something that I like to remind people of from time to time. And I'm not going to go deep into this, but just hear this and let it sink in, okay? You know, God made you, right? God created you. So we have to ask the question, why did he create you? God, who loves you, created you out of love. Why did he create you? He created you to share in his life. That you would participate in the very being of God. That's why you were created. The God who created the universe, the God who said, let there be light, the God who made the observable universe. We don't know how big it is, but what we can see is 90 billion light years across. And that's probably just a tiny little part of the whole thing. We're going to keep seeing it bigger and bigger as we get better telescopes. The God who is infinite in his power and majesty created you and me to participate in his life, to participate in his love. How do we participate in God's life and love? How? We share in his image and likeness. And I ask you, have you ever received Holy Communion? Say, yes, Father Mike. What is Holy Communion? What is it? It's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the God who created us, who became incarnate, who walked among us to rescue us from ourselves. And he's coming back. Who do you want to be when he comes, right? You want to be who you were created to be. And you say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Last Sunday, I talked about a fear that I have. I don't know how many of you remember this or not, but I said I feared being duped, okay? I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be anybody's fool, okay? And particularly about you know, the separation of the sheep and the goats, you know, that I want to understand that there's a judgment. And if somebody tells me, oh, don't worry about that, I don't want to fall for any falsehood, right? I do not want to be duped. Well, I have another thing I'm afraid of, okay, that I'm going to share with you today. Okay, something else that I fear a little bit. This is true. I fear sounding negative, you know? I don't want to sound negative. I don't want to sound negative. But I'm going to have to be a little bit negative today, just a little tiny bit, okay? But hopefully that's not going to be what comes through to you today. Now, last year I told you all this. If you don't remember this, it's because you don't remember, not because I didn't say it, because I said it. I know I said it, okay? Last year I told you all that I wasn't really a conspiracy theory person, right? I'm not a conspiracy theory person. I'm not worried about the Illuminati or the media or the Masons or the Jesuits, for that matter. I'm not worried about... I don't believe in global conspiracy theories. What I do believe in is evil. I believe that there's good and evil. And there's enough evil in this fallen, broken world to go around that we don't need a conspiracy. No one has to get together in back rooms to come up with a plan. But there is this kind of great conspiracy, and it is to rob you of the season of Advent, and that we would skip right over Advent and go right into Christmas. But Advent, my brothers and sisters, is a very important season. It's a very important season. See, I believe in darkness and light. I believe in good and evil. I believe in the perpetual battle between them, and that the church gives us this 3 or 4 week season to prepare for the light coming into the darkness. Why do I think Advent is such an important season? And why do I think if there is a conspiracy about anything, a conspiracy to rob us of the season of Advent? Because we struggle, don't we? It's dark sometimes, isn't it? We wait, we anticipate. We're thinking, when, Lord? When will the light come? I'm tired. I'm afraid. I'm waiting patiently, and I lose my patience, and I begin to wonder. And that's what the season of Advent is. The season of Advent is, stay awake. He's coming. Be alert. Don't give up. The Lord will come. And so we light the candles little by little, and the light comes into the darkness, and we know the victory of God's presence with us, right? Don't let the world steal that from you. You know, we don't all struggle at the same time, but we all struggle sometimes, right? And maybe this is not a season of darkness and struggle for you. Maybe this is a season of great joy. But the reality is, you're going to go through a time of struggle, sooner or later. Maybe you have been, maybe you will be again. But we have this reality that the church puts us into, this time of waiting, anticipation, as we struggle with the darkness. I've heard that it is always darkest before the dawn. You ever heard that expression? It's always darkest before the dawn. And this is the time of waiting the dawn. Waiting the coming of Christ, waiting the return of grace, waiting the renewal of our sense of peace, whatever it might be. We struggle, we stay awake. I'm going to quote Fulton Sheen here. I got a couple of long quotes for you today. Fulton Sheen: the church is not optimistic about history. It has always seen that the final product of history will be Antichrist, the concentration of diabolical evil in human souls. And the only way out of that horror will not be a new social order, but will be the second coming of Christ to judge the living and the dead. Every year in the Gospel of the Mass, the church reminds her children that there is no perfect state in the world. And while good men sow wheat, evil men sow weeds, and both will be permitted to grow until the end of the harvest. And so we wait, right? We wait in this time. And this is a particularly important season for us to embrace this waiting and this anticipation and the light coming into the darkness. Now, St. Augustine, I read this day before yesterday, and when I read it, I knew immediately, I want to put that in my homily this weekend. So you're getting a little extra homily, okay? Maybe what I wasn't necessarily planning on. So St. Augustine said, and a mostly quote, but a little paraphrase here and there to make it flow for this homily. So he says, let us sing. Let us sing, alleluia, here on earth while we still live in anxiety, so that one day we may sing in heaven in full security. Why do we live in anxiety? And he says, can you expect me not to be anxious when I read, is man's life on earth not a time of trial? Can you not expect me to feel anxious when the words still ring in my ears? Watch and pray that you be not put to the test. Can you expect me not to feel the challenge when there are so many temptations here and now, and that my prayer itself reminds us, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every day we make our petitions, and every day we sin. Do you want me to feel secure when I'm daily asking for pardon for my sin, requesting help in time of trial because of my past sin? So I pray, forgive us. And I immediately add, lead us not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. How can all be well when we are crying out, deliver us from evil? But even here, even amidst the trials, even amidst the temptations, let us sing alleluia, because God is faithful. And the Holy Scriptures tell us we will not be tried beyond our strength. So let us sing alleluia even now in the dark. Man is a debtor, but God is faithful. Scripture does not say he will not allow us to experience darkness, but that it will not overcome us. Whatever trial, he will see you through it safely. He will enable you to endure. You have entered upon a time of trial, but you will come to no harm, because God will bring you through. You are like a piece of pottery, shaped by instruction, fired by tribulation. You are put into the oven, and he will keep his thoughts on you, and you will be taken out again. For God is faithful, and he will guard you, both your going in and your coming out. You know, brothers and sisters, Advent is a particularly important season of the year. Don't skip over it. Don't let the world of consumerism rob you of the season of waiting and anticipation and trusting of the coming of the light into the darkness. It must be part of our quest, every human's quest, to seek goodness, to ask the question, who do I want to be? I want to be like God. I want to be who I was created to be, in the image and likeness of God. I want to be good. I need your help, Lord, right? I need it. And so we pray that. We seek the light. We seek the light. And the light is coming. It's Advent. You know what the word Advent means? Coming. He's coming. The light comes into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Be awake, watch, and pray. Watch and pray. You know, I have a couple of fears in my life, right? One is being duped. Another one is sounding negative. I hope I don't sound negative today. But it's a struggle, isn't it? Isn't there a struggle in this life? But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and in him was life, and the light was the light of the man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I'm going to light these candles, and this candle symbolizes the light coming into the darkness. So, it's Advent. Someone might say to me, Father Mike, I don't want to hear about repentance. I don't want to hear about darkness. I want to hear about Christmas. Well, let me tell you, Christmas is the word of the flesh, the word taking flesh and being born among us. Why did the Word take on flesh? Why did Jesus come? A little preview for you, right? Born in the house of bread, born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. You were created by God who loves you. Why did he create you? To share in his very life. The God who created the universe comes down to us as a tiny baby to take on flesh, to give us his flesh in Holy Communion, right? To give us his flesh. Who do you want to be? What are you doing about it? This is the season. Stay awake and pray. Christ is coming, the light into the darkness.